Learning Mechtav Eliyahu, we started the essay which is called Hamoshel VaHanimshel, the story and the message, or the parable and the message. What we said in the last class was that the function of the parable, of the story, is in order to illustrate a point, so that in order to get an idea across to the students, to the listeners. So sometimes the speaker will use a story to illustrate the point. But it's just in order to assist the understanding of the teaching. However, sometimes it happens that a person comes away from the class, he knows the story, but he didn't know what was the point of the story, the message of the story, he misses it. So that idea, that problem, is something we have reflected in our lives. Firstly, we said in children that a child gets involved in its toys and it enters a world of imagination. It enters a world of unreality, right? where the box becomes a boat and he is the captain, etc. It's an unreal world which he enjoys. As a child, he enjoys that world, and that's fine. That's called play, and that's important for the development of the child. The problem is with adults. The problem is not with the children. The problem is with adults, that they also enter a world of imagination which causes them to disengage from reality. They enter a world of imagination, much like the child with his toy, and therefore they lose sight of reality, and they can actually waste years and years and even decades and even their entire lives living an imaginary life which doesn't exist, because it's only imagination. So he brought two examples of this. One is the pursuit of honor. Sometimes people pursue honor. They want recognition. They want acceptance from other people, or applause. They want to be accepted. They want to be recognized. So therefore they pursue honor. Now, why is this imaginary? Because the honor other people give us doesn't have any real worth. If a person is in and of himself worthy of honor, if a person is doing something important with his life, therefore that should give him self-esteem, and that's all he needs. He needs his own, he has his own self-worth. He knows that what he's doing is important, and that gives him self-worth. And therefore, whether other people know about it or they don't know about it shouldn't make a difference. Like, what I'm doing with my life is important. I don't need my neighbors to clap hands every time they see me because I'm doing such a wonderful job. I'm not dependent on that. That doesn't really change the value of what I'm doing. And however, the problem is that people start relying on and move into this imaginary world where if others are applauding me, then I must have self-worth, which is false. You know, cause sometimes other people are going to be applauding you for some other reason, or for some imagined glory which you don't really own. And worse than that is sometimes people buy honor with money. They dish money out, and therefore people applaud them, and people acknowledge them, and praise them, and recognize them. But really, these people are only interested in their money. They're not really giving value to the person. It's just a type of flattery. They flatter these people because they hope to get gifts from these people, and therefore that's not true worth. And they themselves know it. They themselves are handing out money that in order to get honor from other people, when really this is not reality at all. So this is an example of living in a world of imagination, where I now have worth because other people recognize me. This is false, and it's just a delusion. The second example of Dessler brings of living an imaginary life is people who all of their drives and ambitions are towards building up this material world, and they seek wealth, and they imagine that if they will have wealth, then they will be happy. So wealth will bring them to happiness. And the truth is, we know that that's not so. That's not true. Because sometimes, as much as a person has, if he's not happy with himself, so therefore it doesn't help. All the wealth doesn't help. It doesn't really fill the gap that he has. And the problem is as follows. The problem is that each one of us does have a true lacking. You see, why do people pursue honor? Why do they pursue wealth? Because there is a hole in their life. There is something missing in their life. Right? There is a sense of lacking. And that sense of lacking is a type of hunger, but it's a spiritual hunger. And it's the hunger that can't be filled with food, because food won't fill that hunger. You're not physically hungry, you're spiritually hungry. So food can't fill that hunger, and honor can't fill that hunger, and wealth and excitement and holidays and all of that. Maybe they can be like a panacea. They can quieten hunger for a short while, but it's false. It doesn't really work to still the hunger. And the true hunger is a spiritual hunger which this material world cannot fulfill. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work for this type of hunger. It can't really satisfy this hunger. So therefore, that's the problem. You've got the adult who's playing with his toys, because he's hoping to fill his hunger for this lack, this hole in his life, and he's convinced, right? If he'll be the top businessman, he'll be the top sportsman, or he'll be the best, whatever it is, whatever field of activity he enters, and he will rise to get fame, and he'll get wealth, and he'll get recognition. So then that'll fill that hunger, and that's the problem of living a life in imagination. So what is the actual reality? The reality is that, as we explained, that the reality of the world, what the world is really lacking, as we mentioned before, is the presence of Hashem. That's really what the world is lacking. When Hashem created the world, He created the world by removing His presence from Hashem. That's what we spoke about in the last class. And He created this huge vacuum. And then, in that vacuum, in that darkness, in that blackness, He started a creation. Now, the creation is little bits of light. In that darkness, there are little bits of light, little sparks of light, where His presence enters to a very small degree. And our tachlis comes through finding those sparks of light and attaching ourselves to those sparks of light. And finding those lights and incorporating them in our lives. Discovering Hashem. Hashem is only in the world in a very limited way. To a very limited degree. The darkness is all over, and they're just little flames, little sparks of light which we have to uncover, discover, right, and fill ourselves with. We have to consume those sparks of light to attach ourselves to that light. And that's the reality that we're looking for, and that's what's going to fill the gap. Because the gap is the reality that we're born into, which is the absence of the divine presence. However, people who try and fill the gap with other things, they're going to be lost. And people do have free time. Hashem does give us free time. The free time is for the pursuit of some sort of a higher connection or quality of life. And those people who fill their time with nonsense, or just they want to kill time, so that's the tragedy. So we're picking up here on page 100 in the Hebrew edition, volume 1 of Yetzer Eliyahu. The last paragraph on the page. So he says like this: Aval ha'adam shu omer liknos metzius amitis v'bechiyus hatov. Someone who is looking to acquire true reality. True reality means discovering Hashem in this world by making good choices. He chooses to do an act of kindness as opposed to an act of selfishness. He chooses to learn something rather than waste time. He chooses to try and speak to Hashem, or to say Tehillim, or to pray and connect with Hashem. So he makes good choices, right? We make choices through the day. So the person is making good choices, and therefore getting to his true self, discovering his true reality. So to every new level that he reaches. So as we make good choices, so we acquire spiritual acquisitions, and we elevate ourselves. So to speak, if you buy a box, so then after you've bought the box, you can stand on the box, and now you're taller. So then, right, because the box that you just acquired is a pedestal for you to stand on, and then you can climb onto the next level. So it's a ladder. There's a ladder of achievement, spiritual gain. That's right. That the person changes his level by making spiritual choices. So therefore, we become greater people. We are enlarged ourselves. We expand ourselves, we become higher people, more sensitive to situations, more sensitive to opportunities, right? More sensitive to other people's, how we can help other people, etc. So therefore, this new level makes us into a new person. With each point of this new reality that he uncovers for himself, corresponding to that, his eyes are open to recognize the nothingness of this world. That this world really is just, it's just a, this world really doesn't, is not a true reality. It's just a, it's the corridor. It's just something that we use temporarily and then we discard. For instance, if a person buys disposable knives and forks, right? So the disposable knives and forks, you use them for a while and then you throw them away, right? Disposable plates or disposable whatever it is. So it's just, so that's, this world is a disposable world. It's for us, the world is for us to use the world and to elevate ourselves. And to elevate ourselves through using this world. And then it's disposable because it just dies. It just dies away. It just becomes, once it fulfills its function, so it's, it has no use anymore. So that's the recognition that this is a temporary world, that this world really has no permanence. Mishudovek b'limud haTorah, someone who attaches himself to learning Torah, to a Torah lifestyle, k'shuroyes roidfe hamomen makrivim gufom enafsham al mizbeach hamomen, so someone who clings to a Torah lifestyle, when he sees those who pursue money sacrificing themselves and their lives on the altar of money, he sees people who they make their whole lives the pursuit of wealth, and they work hours upon hours, long days, and huge sacrifices. They don't see their families for weeks on end. All these sacrifices in order to make money. So when you see that, if you see the sight of this person who's giving up everything just in order to be wealthier, he looks at them as if they're crazy. He sees them as mishuganas, because they're giving up everything just for a dream, for an imagination which has no reality. That's one consequence of developing the eyes that look at the world with a proper perspective, right? Where our values become the correct values. We see what's really important and we give value to that. We see what's unimportant and therefore, why bother? Why work so hard for something that really doesn't have any lasting worth, any real worth? Another example, Purishim is a taiva, someone who's able to separate himself. He's able to disconnect from a certain type of lust. Right? Maybe used to have this certain lust, a certain desire, used to pursue this certain pursuit all the time. And all of a sudden he sees, it's, you know, I don't need it. It's not for me, and it doesn't do anything for me, and I really don't need it. So he separates from a lust. Right? Maybe sometimes in his youth, person when he's younger, he was crazy for something, and he spent all these hours of his day trying to pursue this something, and suddenly he sees it's nonsense. So he suddenly leaves it. He lets it go. He lets go this thing that he was so crazy about. And he replaces that lust with some sort of a spiritual pleasure, not some sort of spiritual pursuit which gives him pleasure. He learns to appreciate and to enjoy something that's spiritual. So therefore those who had those lusts that he himself used to have, that those who are pursuing that pursuit that he himself used to pursue, become ridiculous in his eyes, become silly. He looks at them and he says it's silly. You can use the analogy of a small child who's playing marbles with his friends. So it's life and death, you know, who gets that marble, right? You know, who wins the game. But for an adult watching from the side, so it's, you know, he smiles at it. It's just, you know, a child's game. It's silly. So the same thing as we advance, so therefore we see something that other people take so seriously, they go so crazy for, it's really a type of mishugas. It's a craziness that's deluding them. Now all of this leads us to the Gilui HaGodl. Ach kashe yavo ha-Gilui HaGodl, however, when the final revelation will come. Now there's small revelations for each person in his life, where you uncover the truth of what life is really about. What life is, what you're really hoping to achieve with your life. In other words, spiritual gain and eternity and closest to Hashem, which is for all time. So those are little glimpses of truth, of revelation. Little glimpses of Hashem. You suddenly get a flicker. You suddenly see a little peak of Hashem. So all of that's leading to the final revelation. The final, when Hashem suddenly will drop the curtain, Hashem will suddenly show himself. So then at that point, and this is really what we're leading to, right? When that time will come, will be the final revelation, you call Chaya Ulam Azeh, then all of the life of this world, at that point, to Yivosim Barosim, the good things and the bad things, all of it, Yisurim Shebehem, all the afflictions, all the sufferings, all the troubles, all the problems, all the headaches, we say game, all the things that you can accomplish, all the things that you can acquire, right? Chutz mikinyonim ruchnim, with the exception of spiritual acquisitions, all of the physical material possessions and acquisitions of this world, metziusim, right? All of what that we know as our reality, the physical reality that we know as being real, kechalo mihaket. So then the physical world will be like a dream that you've just woken up from. And that's exactly what we say in the Shir Amaris. B'shuv Hashem, eshivas tzion, when Hashem will bring back His return to Zion, hayinu kechomim, we will be like dreamers. Right? Hayinu kechomim means, lo nema niye kechomim. It doesn't say we will be dreamers. I just translated it wrong. It says, hayinu, we will have been like we were dreamers. We'll be those waking up from a dream. Once Hashem reveals His presence to the world, then we will have been as if we were dreamers. Everything up to now was a dream. The whole of this reality of this world, which we gave such importance to, all the news stories and what's happening and the fashions, etc., all of that suddenly will be a dream. It'll just be a fiction, and we will have been like we will be like people who've just woken up from a dream. All of our past life will appear to us simply like a dream. So that's really, that future is something we're trying to uncover for ourselves in the present as well. And also the very long and bitter and difficult exile of the Jewish people. Jewish people being scattered throughout the world, and the anti-Semitism and the suffering that the Jews have suffered because they're Jews, right? And the hurt and the being tortured or being pursued. All of that exile of the Jewish people will also be like a dream. It will also just disappear. It will fade away like a bad dream, a nightmare. You wake up from a nightmare, and you're sweating, and you're worried, and suddenly you see it was all nothing. It was just a dream. You're so scared in the middle of the dream, but suddenly you wake up and it was just a dream. It's nothing. So the exile itself, all the suffering, the Jewish suffering, will also just be a dream. Then instead of thinking that we were sunken in this deep evil, remember, Rav Dessler is just shortly after the Second World War, he's writing this essay. So therefore, we were immersed in this horrible evil, this deep, the depths of evil. We'll see that everything was really for our benefit. What seemed to be unpleasant and what was unpleasant, what seemed to be evil and destructive, was really for our benefit. We'll suddenly see it was really for our good. It was helping us to uncover our goodness. To help us detach ourselves from the vanity of this world, and that we should come closer to our Father in heaven. Aren't we, right? It's the tzoras, the troubles, all help to detach us from from this world, that this world shouldn't be our all. And therefore, by becoming detached, we're now free to attach ourselves to spirituality. Because whoever has had a taste of suffering in his life, anyone who's suffered in his life, any person, with the condition, with the only condition being that he's not a totally stubborn person who's totally addicted, totally crazy for his error of his ways. And a person just suffers a little bit in this world, and he's not meshuggah for justifying that this world is the only world. Even if he doesn't make all the calculations, he's not a deep thinker, he doesn't make calculations, spiritual calculations. Just he'll think simply, just thinking simply, logically. Just like a person would judge in terms of business. So therefore, according to these calculations, he'll come to the conclusion that it's useless putting our hopes and dreams into the material world. As a person who suffers something, he suffers a setback. So therefore, let's say, for instance, a person has a business and he buys a certain product. Right? And he puts it, he stocks his shop with a certain product, and no one buys it. and it's a financial loss. So the next time the salesman comes around to sell him the same goods, he says, look, my shelves are still full of it. No one's bought a single item, and you still want to sell me more? So I'm giving up on your product. Your product's useless to me. No one wants to buy this product. Please take it back. I don't want to buy more of the product. Okay. I don't want that product. The product was a mistake, and therefore please take it back. So the same thing, a person tries to do something, tries to build a business, or he tries to build this world, and it just collapses. Things go horribly wrong. So then he tries again, and again it goes horribly wrong. Right? He's pursuing a certain dream, and it just keeps failing. So eventually he says, you know, that this dream is it's not real. It's a waste of time. This is not really going to bring me happiness because, you know, I build things and they fall apart. I worked so hard to achieve a certain status, and I enjoyed it for 5 minutes, and then it was all taken away from me. So therefore, what value does it have? So therefore, anyone who suffers in this world comes to realize that really this world is not that great a place to invest in. Ultimately, we're only here for a short time. Right? Even if a person's here for 120 years, so 120 years corresponding with eternity, 120 years against eternity, what's eternity? It's more than a million years, right? It's like nothing, it's a speck of, right? So therefore, putting our time and thoughts into something which just lasts a few seconds is something that you should just, you know, that's just a simple calculation. It's not worthwhile investing in that which has such a short-lived value. Any person who reaches a state, and it's specifically suffering that does this for us, it helps us to get a perspective on reality. So he feels, a person who's reached this state, he's been in this place, he feels that instead of the reality, this imagined reality of physical, material well-being, which has now been removed from him, he feels that in its place, he now has entered a spiritual reality. As when a person is suddenly stripped of the dream of the material wealth and affluence and goodness of this world, suddenly he sees that, on the contrary, hasn't been left bare, he hasn't been left naked without anything. On the contrary, by having the one taken away from him, that creates room for a spiritual reality to take its place. Suddenly he has an appreciation of what it means to be a spiritual person. Now, yeshiva is an example. The yeshiva students, in the First World War, we had the yeshiva students who they were on exile. They had to run from place to place. And there were bombs, and they had to be in exile, they had to be in places no one knew them, and there wasn't food, and they weren't set up, and they didn't have where to sleep, and they weren't organized, and they were trying to learn Torah in local shuls, in foreign places where they didn't know anyone. So they were able to appreciate what it means to attach ourselves to learning Torah. Right? In other words, where everything else, where the material well-being is all collapsing and they're on the run and they're not set up, so suddenly their anchor becomes the Torah learning, the spiritual pursuit. Now that's their home. Suddenly they have an appreciation. This is what's good for me. This is where I'm attached. This is where I'm connected. This is where my help comes from. Right? What does it mean to have a spiritual elevation every day? What does it mean to have a proper prayer, or to have a thought that's an inspiring thought? Someone who sees his material platform, his material basis. Material base that he thought that he was arranged, he thought he was set up for generations. A person builds up a wealth base, he's got bank accounts, he's got a business, he's got property, he's got homes, etc. And he thinks, you know, I'm good, my children are now good, my grandchildren are good. Everything is very settled, everything's very stable. He set up this very whole stable, you know, very much very stable circumstances. And suddenly he sees that the whole thing just falls apart, the whole thing crumbles. All of his empire that he built up, and all the property is stolen by the goyim, and they're on the run, and his bank accounts are confiscated, and he's got no money, and he's without anything, and everything's been, suddenly he's on the run, and everything has fallen apart. Everything looked so good, it looked so solid, and suddenly the whole thing is just falling apart. Misparik mispazel einav. It's all falling apart and scattering before his eyes. Vizocharak leikvius pshuta. And now he's just in a very simple situation, very, very almost dangerous situation. So this is an opportunity for him to leave off, to depart from the vanity of this world and to strengthen himself in his connection with Hashem. So he gets a chance, this person who has this experience of losing everything in the material sense, gets a chance to realize the inner peace and well-being and serenity that comes through trusting in Hashem. To lay your trust in Hashem. Hashem will take care of me. Whatever happens, doesn't matter, I'm in the arms of Hashem. Hashem's that. Whatever's happening, bombs are falling around and I've got nothing and there's no food, but I have Hashem. Hashem is taking care of me. So comfort, that type of serenity is the ultimate experience. Rav Pinkas used to use the example of a woman on the run, also in wartime, and she's running from place to place and she's looking for food and she's looking for shelter and she's looking for whatever it is, and it's very harrowing times, and she has to be on the run, and she's schlepping this little baby with her. Wherever she's going, she's sleeping the baby. So she's holding the baby closely to herself, warm in her arms. And the baby's her number one priority. So even though she is worried and she's troubled and she's unsettled and she doesn't know where she's going to be that night and where she's going to be tomorrow, etc., but the baby's secure the whole time. Right? The bombs are falling around, but the baby's in the mother's arms. It's in paradise. Everything's great. You're getting the best attention, the best care. The mother's not letting go of her and is totally secure. So that's what we're talking about. The whole physical world could be falling apart, but we've got Hashem. We're connected to Hashem. We're the baby in the mother's arms, that we're totally secure. If you have that type of perspective, that really, whatever this world is, this world is really an imaginary world. Hashem's just put us here to test us, and He's taking care of us. The whole time He's taking care of us. He's holding us the whole time. He's not letting go of us. And therefore, really, whatever has to happen is part of the plan, is part of the program, and Hashem's taking care of us. So therefore, once you have that perspective, so then what can upset you? What's there to be upset about? It's all just a test. Like a person goes to a movie, so that's a very scary movie. So, oh, I'm so scared. But it's only a movie, right? So often 2 hours, so the whole thing's over, and you'll go outside, the sun's shining, you sit in the park bench, and you eat popcorn, whatever it is. It's just imaginary. So the same thing, if we get that perspective, so then this whole world is just, it's imaginary. It's, you know, the bombs and the wars and etc. It's all imagination. We're really in the hands of Hashem, and Hashem is taking care of us. And that's exactly the perspective. That's the true perspective of what our life is about. Zehu adava bodut musa. And this is something that is tested and can be substantiated. Anyone who leaves off and gives up on pursuing the delights of this world, once he does that, so he receives as a replacement, he's compensated with the light of truth. Once a person gives up, to the degree that we give up on making it in this world, and being so successful and being so comfortable and living a luxurious life in this world, to the degree that a person is willing to give up on that dream of the success of this world, so corresponding, there's a compensation corresponding to that he does receive from the heavens a glimpse of the light of truth, or pnei Hashem, at the light of the face of Hashem, so to speak. Hashem smiles at him. He sees Hashem's face, so to speak. Suddenly things are revealed to him that he never even thought of. Suddenly there's a new reality that he never expected. Right? Things, a life experience beyond all of his previous level. And even if he only leaves off from the material world, even if he only leaves because he's being afflicted, because of the sufferings, now even though he's forced to give up on this world because of circumstances, right? You have the top athlete who suddenly has an accident and he's paralyzed, he's sitting in a wheelchair. So that's it, it's over, the whole dream's over, it's all over. even in that situation where he's been forced into a situation where he has to give up on the dream of this financial success and material success and fame and fortune in this world because of circumstances, even so, the Surah Khoshir is Galila Omi Meda, once the darkness of the illusion disappears, the imaginary greatness of this world disappears, that darkness disappears, and then the light comes in its place, and the light of the truth, and there's a glimpse at the light of the truth. Even though he's done nothing, even though it's from outside, he's thrown into the situation, he has the ability to reveal, to see for himself the light of the truth. Kikahu midosu shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because this is the attribute of Hashem, Ani Esdoka, I am with the oppressed. Hashem says, this is from a pasuk in Yeshayahu, I am with the one who is oppressed. When a person's under specific stress, distress, so that's where Hashem is. Hashem is with the one who's in distress, and moreover, he elevates the distressed person up to his level. And so it's written in the Zohar, Begolus Bovel, in the exile, the Babylonian exile, when the Jews were thrown out of the land of Israel after the destruction of the first temple. So there, in that exile, Dafka Mishum Shahaisa Yosef Kosh Lizbol Migalus Mitzrayim, in a sense, it was much harder to suffer. It was a harder suffering, the suffering of the exile in Egypt, when we were slaves in Egypt. So the exile to Babylon was a harder exile. They weren't used to a hard life. Eretz Yisrael, everything was fine, and suddenly it was all destroyed, and they were thrown into bubble. And the extreme of the change made it was much harder for the Jewish people to accept and to live with. So therefore, it was a harder exile. It was much tougher on them. So Holy Hakadosh Baruch Hu Pamalia Shelob Lebovel Vegam Hu Yorad Imahem. So therefore, Hashem descended with his troop of angels into the Babylonian exile, Venigle Al Yechezkel, and he revealed himself to the prophet Yechezkel. V'nosam Rishus Legalus Mashiach Osel Legalus Kishashonim Kitzukunam, and he revealed to Yechezkel. Yechezkel was able to go around to teach ideas that had never yet been revealed to the Jewish people. They saw the prophecies of Yechezkel include a vision of the third temple and the final redemption, and he showed them lights, he showed them a future that exists for the Jewish people which they'd never known before. The revelations of Yechezkel are very, very dramatic, very exciting revelations, prophecies. So this was new to the Jewish people and was special, a special comfort for them, because they were in such a hard time. They were suffering so greatly. So now they were open to receive these prophecies. That they should see that the divine presence is with them. Now the tougher the situation, the greater the revelation that comes from above. And once they saw this, they rejoiced. They weren't worried about the exile anymore. At that point they realized Hashem has not abandoned us. It looks, even though things look terrible, Hashem has not left us. And at that point they were willing to sacrifice themselves for the love of Hashem, for the sanctity of Hashem. They suddenly realized what really is important in life. And they had that revelation, that understanding, because of the tzoris that they suffered and the revelation that came together with those tzoris. Umasik sham shebechol mokum shegol Yisrael sham shechina gol seinahim. And what they came out, the teaching that comes out from that, from the revelation of Yechezkel, was that wherever the Jewish people are in exile, so the divine presence is in exile with them. Right? If a Jew is sent off to Siberia, so you should know the divine presence is with him in Siberia. Right? He's sent off to Afghanistan, whatever it is, right? Wherever he is, wherever he ends up, wherever Jew ends up being, there the divine presence is with him. And even where the suffering is, where the more the suffering is greater, where a person gets closer to the revelation of the divine presence. Now, however, not every person merits this revelation. Because there's a certain attribute which we call stubbornness. The people are very stubborn. They say, no, the only world is this world, and I am a disaster, I'm a train wreck, look what's happened to me, look what I've lost, and I've lost everything. And they insist They insist on hanging on to this idea that I have lost everything, I don't have anything now, they took it all away from me and I have nothing. So there's a certain stubbornness. A person says, no, the only world is this physical world. If a person has that stubbornness, right, so then he basically blocks Hashem from revealing himself to him. Right? If you have that stubbornness and no, the only world is this world, and he stubbornly insists that his disasters are the end of his life, so then that's the true disaster. Now this type of stubbornness is told to sapachad, it comes from a fear. How it says bifne azivas mashayarigili smoichalav, which stops him from abandoning that which he used to rely on. Kamosha tovea yachu is the kash, like a person drowning in the ocean, he's hanging onto a straw. So this straw that he's hanging onto is going to save him. The straw is nothing. So now, but he's convinced that he has to. Right, he can't let go. He's not willing to let go of this material world. So then he is in trouble. Of the demon koful mechupa. But what happens to such a person? He's just doubled his imagination, because not only is he not letting go of this world, he's now that this world, he doesn't even have this world, he's imagining a world that he doesn't have double time, because it's been taken from him and he's still hanging on to it. He's hanging on to what he doesn't even have as an illusion anymore. He's creating an illusion of an illusion that he once had. It's like double imagination, because the whole thing's been stripped from him and he still wants it. He gam shahaisaloi oisa betoch shel oilam zeh shelavov choshek bo. Because even when he had the financial world, when he had the material world, when everything was going well for him in this physical world, so even then it was only imaginary. Hayadeh rak moshov demon. It was just a parable. Because that's our original message. This is really the message, that it's really, this world is only a parable. It's just only a background. It's the story through which we discover the true message, which is that the true success is the spiritual success. So therefore, even when he had everything, it was only imaginary. Now the imaginary world has been taken from him because he lost it. So he's hanging on to an imagination which has now been taken from him. It's an imagination of an imagination. So that's the stubborn person who refuses to let go of the hopes for this world. This person, if you would only open his eyes a little bit, that he should understand the content of this suffering that's been sent to him. You'll just look with natural eyes to see how far he is, how far away his hopes are, how hopeless it is. If you could just see how hopeless it is, he wants to reconstruct something that's been stripped away from him. He had everything in whatever, not in Germany, he had everything, and he wants to go back to Germany and regain all that he had. But it's all gone, it's all destroyed, so the whole thing is there, it's ruined. If he'll just open his eyes and see that it doesn't exist, it's not there, it's not possible to regain it. So therefore, just that realization of that hopelessness in terms of this world, Kvaya Kodesh Boko taketh, Mafli Lose Islamina Mitzias Rufni. So there, if he just let go of it, then he could already see the wonders of Hashem being in his life. He would grab onto the message and he'd leave go of the story. Okay. Let go of the story and hang on to the message behind the story, what this world is really about, what we're really here to do. We're just here for a short time, we have a mission, and we just realize that this is it, this is the mission, and then we're going home. So if you can just hang on to that reality, then everything takes falls into place. In our days, there were awesome teachings. Again, sort of this is speaking about the Holocaust. Because in our days, Hashem sent us horrific lessons, terrible lessons for the Jewish people. Echa kinyonim, all of the acquisitions we had, basidushim esadrim, mnei adam lehem leduriseim, all the different things they'd arranged for themselves, the political organizations and the different institutions and all of the different academies that they had, you know, how they'd set themselves up. You know, the Jewish people were comfortable and they were the successful and they were established, they were recognized. So like in our days, we learned the lessons, that everything disappeared in a moment. Everything, the whole European community was a settled community, it was an affluent community, it was a very, very, it was a very stable community. All of that stability disappeared in a moment. In a moment, everything was suddenly gone. Ashalom, and Ashalom, the peace that they had was no peace. the Seder Chaim and a Muvtach, all that they'd set up, all of the insurances that they had, all of the guarantees they had, all the securities they had, nothing was secure anymore. Nothing was secure. Echachaim Atzlam Shal Medina Shleimus. How the life of full countries, not just areas, not just neighborhoods, just entire countries, all of everything that was all set up in a certain way, in fact, the entire world, everything is hanging by hair's breadth. You know, someone snips, right? You've got a ton of weight hanging by a single hair's breadth. So how that can suddenly snap? You've got all of this weight, and it's all hanging on a hair's breadth. The hair there can suddenly snap. At come and learn is rak mashelis kanaratzutz. So therefore, the realization was, and the messages, and the message for us also is that we have to throw away this broken reed. A person's leaning on a reed. He's leaning on what he thinks is a stick that's going to support his weight, but it's not a stick. It's a reed. It's empty and it's a broken reed. It's going to crack. It can't support you. You're leaning on something which can't support you. At come and learn neil mach lo yuchal adam lesadet atzma beulam hazeh. To the degree that a person can learn that he cannot rely and he cannot be organized in terms of this world. This world cannot be his point of security. And to the degree a person will realize this world doesn't provide any security at all. There are no guarantees in this world. Nothing can be relied on. So to the degree that we can realize that this world really is just a broken reed, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us in its place. Once we realize that this is a mistake, this is only a story, so then He'll give us the true message. Then we'll have then we'll truly realize what our lives are about. Seiva mamashi, we'll have real satisfaction. Sheifa ruchnis, spiritual ambitions, spiritual drives. Nahasi gadlus atzumis, to reach greatness, to reach true greatness, to reach eternity, to reach powerful greatness, which is our true reality. Chaim mitzius ruchnim, a spiritual life, a spiritual reality. Only a spiritual reality and a spiritual life really can provide a person with pleasure and happiness even in this world. The person will just grasp spiritual reality, it will provide him with eternal happiness and happiness which is even translatable and usable and enjoyable even in this world. The spiritual reality is something that's not only for the next world. A person who is a spiritual person is a happy person even in this world.